Welcome to Mirth and Misadventure, a D&D actual play podcast where our heroes have no idea what they're doing, or even who they are.
Last time on Mirth and Misadventure.
As our challenger, you get to choose the first song.
I'm not feeling real good about this one, y'all.
There's really only one person who Aaron is fit to channel with the blues, and that's Etta James.
Kenji's gonna, you know, sort of saunter over towards the fire and try doing his best sexy dance. And I rolled natural 20.
Suddenly, the whole stage is engulfed in pitch black darkness. You hear the faint sounds of a fiddle.
Can I roll to check how big his dick is based on how tight his pants are?
You can remember the way he used to laugh and the way his hair smelled coming out of the bath.
Oh, you had sexy times with this man.
Hell yeah, I did.
Back again, Aaron. Do you happen to have another of your grandfather's fiddles you wish to wager? You have 2 points to one.
Okay.
All right, Aaron, you have advantage.
That, my friends, is a nat 20.
Yeah!
Niavan walks onto the stage. Friends, we have seen history tonight!
With your dungeon master, Carolyn Wilkie.
I will level you guys if it kills me or you.
Alex as Kenji, the dwarf.
Kenji's here to hit things and make friends.
Marin as Katrin, the Luxodon.
My character is basically Eeyore with an impulse control problem.
Babs as Aaron, the half-elf. Before we started recording, I took my pants off to get into character.
Crashes and rain batters the roof of the warehouse. Sethic smiles broadly and laughs. He takes a flashy bow and the crowd begins to relax and clap, even though they're still stunned. Niavan, the blue dragonborn, cedes the floor, his job as master of ceremonies done for the evening. Friends! You well know it is not every day we witness a talent such as this. Let's hear it for the polecat and the... What was your stupid band's name? Let's hear it for the teeming swarm!
Did you just say stupid band?
I mean, the band's stupid name is one thing, but the stupid band? Please, we have Hyan and Lo-Wiz.
I have Hi-Wiz, excuse me. I have high whiz.
Oh, okay, well then.
I mean, it is what it is. He is, you know, he's clearly brave-facing it a little bit because he's shaken from losing.
He's going to be shaken from something else if he doesn't stop calling me stupid.
He's going to be shooketh.
What? Shooketh to his core.
What do you wish to do?
Aaron holds out his hand, and in the universal symbol of gimme.
I suppose a bargain's a deal's a deal, and a bargain's a bargain. And he hands over the fiddle.
Just the voice you're doing for this guy makes me want to beat him up.
Yeah, I know. God, what a dick.
Like,
can't
just
believe I boned down on that. Yeah.
I'm a little grossed out, honestly.
I know. God.
I'm definitely trying to channel some Brian Murphy vibes a little bit here. I have like I have DMs that I like for very specific things, and I think Brian Murphy does some... He does such good NPCs. He does such good...
He does.
He's the best NPCs. So, Aaron.
Yeah.
From the front of the fiddle, looks basically just like one would expect. The craftsmanship isn't particularly elegant, but it curves where a fiddle needs to curve, and the varnish looks well taken care of. It's not chipped or cracked in any way. Mm-hmm. The wood is the color of warm honey, but as you turn it over, you notice down the back there are striations in the wood, almost looking like tiger stripes. Okay. You...
Is that there before?
Yes, this is just what it looks like.
Okay.
Yeah. The tiger stripes are under the varnish.
Okay.
And it is just wood. It's just wood, but it's nifty. A little bit daring from the back.
I'm also daring from the back, so, you know, it matches.
Go ahead and roll an arcana check for me.
All right. That's not great. That's a 10 plus 4 is 14.
You realize that this probably does require, if you spent some time with it, you get a vague magical sense from it. And if you spent some time actually, like, playing it and working with it, it might provide you some boon.
Okay, fantastic. If I am, I'm just going to let the spirit move me. I'm going to kind of clench my butt cheeks and...
Oh, yes, we're back to that.
Yeah. No, I'm going to let the spirit move me. I'm going to clench my butt cheeks. I'm just going to play the first song that just comes to mind. Like, what feels right when I play the fiddle? You know, just my heart's song. And not stress about it too much. Just as a little mini encore for the audience here.
The song that you play is the first song that you remember hearing after you woke up. And it's the one where you know all the words and you don't know how you know the words. And as you play this song, Sethic, who is a drow, goes a little pale. It is the song that he knows very, very well. And he looks almost a little angry at hearing it from you because... He was playing it earlier, too, when you very first heard the fiddle. Yet, you have a flair to it that he could never hope to achieve. And he pulls off, he doesn't even wait for you to finish, but he kind of pulls out a coin purse off of his belt and kind of tosses it at you, Katrin, your prize. And then he bows again and kind of stalks off stage.
Okay, can I say that I caught that with my trunk?
Absolutely. You can absolutely catch that with your trunk. Inside, you find 100 gold, which is what the prize was for winning the Battle of the Bards.
Nothing else? There was that significant pause there. I was like, there's going to be a note in there or something.
Well, there's a magic fiddle.
There is a magic fiddle, which is... like, very specific. The prize for the Battle of the Bards was 100 gold to anybody,
yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, yeah.
So you figure that was pre-prepared for somebody.
Yes.
There is, however, as he stalks off stage, a massive crack, and followed by a peal of thunder that's louder even than the crowd. There is a pause, and then a shout. Fire! What do you do?
Fire? Fur? Is that what it said?
Fire?
Is it... Are we supposed to get our fursuits? I left mine at home.
The crowd starts panicking and storming for the exits. You look up and you can start seeing the actual smoldering. What you expect was probably lightning hitting wood.
Well, shit. Okay. Well, first things first, I'm putting this fiddle in its case before putting it in, like, my pack. Mm-hmm. Gotta protect that fiddle, very important.
So where is this fire starting?
On the roof.
On the roof?
On the roof.
Okay. And where are we? We're still on the stage?
You're still on the stage.
What do the walls around us look like? Could I bust through one?
Kool-Aid Man style.
Yeah, I mean, wood. I want to get out of here.
They are wood. If you choose to bust through a wall, I would need you to make a strength check. They are wood.
I am going to try to bust through a wall.
Okay, please, Kool-Aid Man the shit out of this.
I rolled a 9.
Oh no!
You run for the first wall that you see, and you're really gaining steam. Like, you lower your brow, you're gonna do it, and you manage to hit one of the very few studs and just bounce right off.
I'm gonna move a foot to the right and try again.
Roll again, but you don't have the head of steam that you did last time.
Oh my god, okay, I love that dropped on the floor. Hang on. Nope, that was a 6.
Yeah. Oh lord.
You're trying. This is probably not going to happen for you at this point.
How many people are around Katrin on that stretch of the wall there? Is it open since we're still in the stage area?
You guys, yeah.
Are there windows?
The back of the stage. Well, wait a minute. What about that pickaxe you have, Kenji?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
There are no people near Katrin. She was the only one who ran at the wall in the back of the stage.
All right. I'm going to tell Katrin to back up and then take out my pickaxe and just try and shatter through the wall there.
Okay. Go for it.
Roll an attack?
Go ahead and roll an attack. I mean, unless it's a nat 1, you will hit.
All right. I rolled a 12.
I whiff and hit myself in the face.
Yeah, so that's 18 total, so.
Yeah, that's a good solid smack right where Katrin left a face print.
You don't have to say it like that, jeez.
How much damage do you do?
Let's see, so if I'm casting Shatter, it is, I assume the wall fails its save on account of being a wall.
Correct.
So it is 3d8. That is 15.
Yeah, that splinters, hella splinters. You have a nice big opening that you can escape through at this point.
Well, la-di-da, let's go through, I guess.
Outside, the rain is pelting down and it's nearly pitch black except for the beginnings of the blaze on top of the warehouse. The storm clouds have blocked any moonlight really from reaching you. Every once in a while you hear a crack of thunder and several, you'll see lightning fizzling kind of all around you, though fortunately none of it looks as close as to what hit you. Everybody go ahead and give me a perception check.
Ooh, that's a 19 on the dice, plus 0, so 19.
17 for me.
I also got 19.
We're perceptive.
Hell yeah.
Fuck, you guys are on it.
I mean, I have a plus 6.
Everybody's on it, though. So, Kenji, what you see, well, you all see this, but Kenji, you see the sky above you flash yellow for a moment. And you're not really, really paying attention, but you do notice that you don't hear an accompanying flash of thunder. Katrin and Aaron, you also see this flash of yellow, but you guys are kind of captivated by it. And in the distance, you see a yellow beam of light kind of fading slowly. You don't see exactly where the pinpoint is that started. There's too many warehouses around to really get that. And it's a little bit chaotic because other people have started streaming out of the hole that you've created. But you know it was in the north, towards the upper market, towards the shiny.
I want to stick my head back in and make sure everybody got out.
There are probably some stragglers, but it's only a couple, and it looks like the fire is spreading, but it hasn't yet. Nothing started collapsing. It looks like you can definitely see the 9 or so people who'll be able to make it through the entrances, especially since you added an extra one.
Okay, so there's nobody pinned anywhere, nobody we're worried about.
No, I wouldn't be worried about anybody from a getting burned up by a fire standpoint, though you do start hearing some other people around yelling about the fire, probably people who weren't in the warehouse. You hear somebody yelling, get the watch, get the fire brigade, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So you have a feeling that this place will be swarming with authority figures very soon.
I think it would be a really good idea if we left.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. We did just wreck this warehouse, and I don't know who owns it.
I don't really want the watch associating us with yet another disaster.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, we should go.
Yeah. Let's
Okay, bye.
Follow that shiny light to the shiny.
I think that's a really good idea.
Okay. So you start making your way back out of the drain. Are you just trying to look like how are you going? Are you like making a beeline for it? Are you sprinting? What is going on here? Because you're starting to see some watch trickle in like you would normally, like kind of rush in, I should say, not trickle in, but just in pairs because they do their beats in pairs.
I personally am trying to stick to shadows because I am the most noticeable of all of us, and I would like them to not notice me because, again, we've been in trouble with the watch a lot so far since we've woken up, and I, again, do not want them associating me with another problem.
Okay.
Aaron is too high on victory to give a fuck about anything.
I mean, Aaron is not nearly as noticeable as a fucking 7.5 foot tall elephant.
He's beautiful. He's extremely noticeable. I don't know what you're talking about.
He is practically glowing. God, yes. Katrin.
I'm so sorry.
Katrin, why don't you roll a charisma check for me? And this is more of a to blend in kind of charisma check. Not so much a stealth roll. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's good because I didn't keep really good track last time, but I'm pretty sure I have no spell slots left.
I would also assume you probably have no spell slots.
Well, I fucking rolled an 8, Carolyn. so plus charisma is a 9.
You are doing your absolute darndest to stick to the shadows. Let's see here. The first pair of watch just runs right past you, and you can actually start seeing some of the people who are carrying buckets and things like that. The rain is pelting really heavily. However, you do see one pair of watch, just two human people. You've never encountered them before. They've got their clubs out, and they're running that way, and they see you kind of doing a half sneak step kind of situation, and they kind of just point their cudgels at you and go, "Oi, you, what's up? What's going on here?"
There's a fire. I was trying to walk away from it.
What do you know about this fire?
I know nothing about this fire.
It's hot. It's hot and kind of orangey red.
Wait, are you taking the piss? Is he taking the piss? I think he's taking the piss. Are you taking the piss?
No, you asked.
No, I'm not taking a piss.
You asked at the fire, telling you what we know about the fire. That's what we know. It's on the roof of a building over there, and we are going in the other direction so as not to be in the way of you fine officers.
I mean, if you want help, I suppose I could blow water on it with my snout, like... I don't really have anything else to offer you at this time.
They kind of like look at you suspiciously. It's raining really hard. Katrin, you can roll a persuasion check. You get advantage because Aaron was helping.
Okay. I don't like any of the dice and what they're doing for me right now. Okay. I rolled a 1 and an 18. So plus my persuasion, that's a 19.
Okay, so one of them looks like he's about to like take a step closer to you when another pair of watch come up and like just run up and they're like, come on, we gotta go help with the fire, and like tap him on the shoulder, and he like waves his cudgel at you and he's like, right, I've gotta go help with the fire. I've got my eye on you.
But then he rushes off.
That's fine. Bye.
Okay, so are you going? So you're heading out of the drain. Are you trying to go? Are you going straight towards the light? Are you going to spend? You know, because it does. So it is raining quite hard. It is very dark out, though. As you get into the lower market, you do start finally getting street lights, and so it's a little bit easier to see, though it's not particularly pleasant. If you want to continue up through the upper market and into the shiny itself, it will take you about an hour walking.
How urgent do we find the need to find this light? Because we can kind of know the general area it came from. It's going to take us an hour to get there. And also, I'd really love to take a nap.
I mean, there is that. I just don't know if we'll be able to find the source of the light anywhere else. And God, that light was fascinating. I was fascinated by it. Weren't you fascinated by it?
I was. I was very fascinated by it. I'm a little afraid of encountering... I'm sorry, I've got to get back in my voice. Encountering something that I'm going to want some magic to deal with and not actually having any magic.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I'm a little tapped out.
All right. Well then let's go take a long rest, I guess.
Okay. Do we want to go look at it and see if it's something we can deal with without magic?
Yeah,
we can go check it out, but keep our distance, play it safe.
Okay. All right, I guess we can do... I mean, I guess if worse comes to worse, I can hit something with a club.
Yeah, club.
I can do cantrips without spell slots. I could hit it with a magic stone, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you guys make your way up through the lower market. It's pretty well abandoned because it's raining so hard. There are a couple...
Isn't it also the middle of the night?
It is about, yeah, it's about 1 a.m. at this point. As you're walking up through, like, the upper market, the rain does start to, like, slack off a little bit. This is a mountain thunderstorm, not so much a soaking rain type situation. You do see fewer and fewer flashes of lightning, and the thunder, you know, you're counting your Mississippis and the thunder is getting further away.
Are we counting our Mississippis or our Fereldens?
What is this? Fereldens?
I don't know. It's a magical town. We wouldn't be counting Mississippis in D&D.
I'm just saying that's the second point. One. Yes, you're counting your Fereldens.
1 Ferelden, 2 Ferelden, 3 Ferelden.
Carolyn's going to go back and now the next town we're going to visit is going to be called Mississippi.
Exactly.
Someday when
Carolyn's like, I'll show that bitch. It's going to have even more S's and more P's.
Mississippi.
Yeah, it just ends in a sound.
Excellent.
So you head up through the shiny, and you do... Why don't you guys go ahead and give me head up through the upper market, I should say. Why don't you give me a perception check as you get towards the gate of the castle district?
Ooh, I rolled an 18. I am rolling some good perception checks.
Weirdly enough, I also, again, got an 18.
Not weirdly at all, I got a 6.
Oh, I was hoping we'd round it out with a 17, and you guys have all wrote the same thing. Another flash of yellow light kind of dissipates. And the beam is a little stronger this time. Or at the very least, you see that it's a lot closer. And you get the sense that it definitely is coming from the castle district, and it's probably coming from somewhere high up. Now, as you walk up to the castle district, you do remember that there is an open... It's kind of a doorway. It's not sealed off, right? It's not... There's no gate. Not like there is at the castle, but there is a opening that does have a couple guards standing in front of it, just to kind of monitor who goes in and who goes out.
Aaron is feeling like high on victory and absolutely guileless right now. So he's just gonna saunter right up to the guards and be like, hey, you see that light after the lightning?
No, I didn't see that. I only saw lightning. What are you doing out at this hour?
I'm feeling great right now. I just completely, like, owned my ex in a battle of will and performance. And so, you know how it is when you have an ex that's an absolute asshole and you just want them to feel shame, like, all the time? I just did that. I'm very proud of myself. But look. Okay, so one of you keep doing guard things. One of you just watch with me for the next flash of lightning.
Okay. You spend a few minutes staring at the sky.
Uh-huh.
And there are a couple flashes of lightning, but no yellow light.
Oh my god, of course.
Roll an intelligence check for me, Aaron.
Okay. I mean, his int is fine. His whiz is terrible. So, intelligence check. She says...
Oh, yeah? How fine is it? How
she
fine
says is it? Rolling a 5. Do I add my modifier to it or no?
Yeah, it's a check. It's a check.
Okay, so 7 total.
Still not very high.
No. No,
you're confused as to why there is no more yellow flashes.
God damn it.
I think you might have had a little too much to drink, friend. It's get out of this weather. Go home.
Fine.
Seeing things. Good. You know, good on you, though. It's always nice to show him up a little bit. I had necks like that once.
I hope you showed them up.
I did. Got my hair did. Whole thing.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wash that man right out of your hair.
Do your hairs tall and check your nails. Baby, how you feeling?
Good as hell.
Hell yeah.
I like this guard.
What is your name, buddy? We're real bad about asking for names.
Ayana.
Ayana, you are a real fucking treasure. Never change.
You neither. What's your name?
I'm Aaron Ryder.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Aaron. Go home, get some sleep, stop seeing things.
Hell yes. Hang in there, Ayana. Things are awesome.
What are you doing?
I guess, so I'm turning around and consulting back with the others. Just like, okay, so home? What's home? Squeaking hell?
I mean, so it's coming from inside the castle and we can't see it from up close?
It's coming from inside the castle district. You know, you are closer to it.
Okay.
And you have a feeling that it is coming from a high point because it doesn't look like it's like ground level. You can see a little bit.
Is there any way to get inside the castle district without going past these guards?
Not that you can see. If you want to try and, because there is kind of a, it's a wall that kind of seals it off, right? The entrance is open. It looks like there is a gate that could be closed in case of like emergency, right? But it's generally kept open. You could certainly go along the wall to see if there is a way to get inside that doesn't, you know, have to do with the official entrance.
Okay, you guys, we came and we looked, and I feel like at this point, any further investigation is going to require some,
magic
level of sneakery, which would take magic, which I don't have. So let's go rest, and we'll come back, and we'll look in the morning.
That's what's up.
That's what I would like to do.
Alrighty.
So what's the plan?
I think we'll head back to the room I have at the inn and go hang out there. Unless, Aaron, you want to go back to your place or anything else.
Well, it's going to be kind of crowded in your room with all three of us, right?
I don't snore.
Yeah, I don't mind sharing a space with y'all. Yeah. I can tuttle.
We've done it before.
Yeah, let's do it.
We cuddled in a fountain.
Yeah. All right, so long rest time.
Oh, okay. is that your sleeping music? No, it's
Final Fantasy, you guys. Come on.
I've never played it.
What? I don't even know where to begin with you. Play Final Fantasy.
Okay.
Like, I recommend that you start with 6. That's a good one to start at. Excuse me. Might be a little, like, old-fashioned for your taste. If you need something that's a little more modern feeling, you can start with 9. 9 is a very good game. Just don't start with 10 or 7.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Do I have to play them on the computer, or can I play them on my console?
Oh, hold on. Depends on the console.
We can find out offline.
Yes.
So you wake up the next morning. You can tell the rain has stopped. It is nice and sunny, like a normal mountain fall afternoon. Or morning. I said morning and then afternoon. But it is the morning, in fact. However, you do wake up a little bit later than usual, just because you went to bed pretty late. So you went to bed about 2 a.m., and so it's probably closer to 10 a.m. at this point.
Okay, cool. I've reset all of my spell slots.
Hooray! Oh, I should do that, too.
Yeah, everybody gets spell slots, HP, special abilities, all the benefits of a long rest. Yeah,
Kenji, you know that spell slot you have?
Oh, yeah.
Saved up? Oh, yeah.
My pickaxe got a good night's rest. It's ready to go.
All right. Okay. What do you wish to do this morning?
Well, I think we should head back over to that castle, look around, see what we can find out about what happened last night.
After a spot of breakfast, which I won't make us role play.
Okay.
That's fair. Today is the ball also, right?
Correct. Today is Kellum's Day.
Kellum's Day.
And that's at the castle too, right?
No, that is at Lord Soros's manor.
Oh, I can't wait for this one. I'm going to go check on those animals.
I'm pretty excited about the Lord Soros's. I came up with a fun little mechanic that I'm stealing from other excellent DMs.
The Lord Soros, he's a velociraptor.
Do
you think he saw us?
I thought we decided that he paid protesters.
Oh, God, right.
Okay, so you guys are heading back towards the castle district?
Yeah.
Okay. It is, again, a little bit of a walk up to the castle district, even from the lower market. There is still a few puddles in the streets, but everything's drying out pretty rapidly because it's nice and bright and sunny. There are plenty of people out and about. You do see, again, there are still guards at the gate, a new couple of guards, one dwarf and one that looks like possibly a half elf as well. Mm-hmm. Different from last night. You don't see Ayana there. But people are kind of going in and out. They're all generally pretty well dressed, but not clearly. Some of them are merchants, not, you know, like super fancy nobility type situation. Mm-hmm. And a few tradesmen as well. People carrying goods, presumably, that, you know, have to do work for the very rich people.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna like clearly have my fiddle case in hand and walk up to the half-elf guard and do the secret half-elf brotherhood handshake.
The half-elf guard, like, has literally no idea what you're doing. He's like, you like put out your fist for a fist bump and just kind of like hold it there, and he like looks at it and looks it back at you and then looks at it and then looks back at you.
I'm like, come on, half elf, bro.
Bro. That's not
this
elvish.
Is embarrassing everybody, including me.
Is that elvish? I never learned.
Oh God, me neither. I don't think. I don't remember if I did or not. You know, the whole memory thing. Really rough. Maybe I did. No, I did. I totally did, I think. I don't know. Get back to me on that one.
Okay. Well, good day, bro.
Good day, bro. band, shall we?
Did you just call me your band?
I mean, y'all are the teeming swarm.
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
Just walk in through the front, act like you belong.
Which I assume you do. The dwarf tips their head at Kenji. Half-elf, you know, nods at you guys. They definitely look quite alert and like they are doing a good job tracking everyone who goes in and out. So your presence has been registered, I will say.
Yeah.
Though, I mean...
Though not remarked upon, but registered.
Again, I stick out like a sore thumb, so...
Yes. Yes, you do. Okay, what do you wish...
This is the burden I have chosen, being a Loxodon.
What do you wish to do to try and track down where this came from?
Ask my friend Aaron, who also noticed it. Do you remember about where that came from? Because do I remember about where that came from? Do I need to roll for that?
Okay. Why don't you guys both roll intelligence checks for me?
Not an investigation check. I'm good at those.
Nope, because this is about remembering. Or rather, if you don't want to roll an intelligence check, Aaron, you can hold your action.
No, I rolled a 20. I'm good.
I rolled a 16, so I'm also okay.
Yeah, 20 on the dice, so 22. I am good. I remember so much.
16 and a 22. Okay. So what happens is this. Catherine, you remember that it looked like it was coming from a particularly high point.
Mm-hmm.
And you say this to Aaron. And Aaron starts looking around, you know, as nonchalantly as they can, as he can. And the highest point that you can see is the tower of the castle.
All right. Let's go.
Okay. I can do a thing, which would be casting Pass Without a Trace on all of us, which would give us plus 10 to our stealth checks if we want to try to stealth through a castle.
I mean, like...
So... As let me go ahead and then describe this a little bit. You guys have been to the castle. You have seen this, so you kind of, you know all of this already. So the castle itself.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, I know. Has several parapets made of gray stone. It's not particularly elegant.
Several. I thought you said there was a parapet.
It's not particularly elegant.
Try harder.
Not particularly elegant compared to a lot of the manors that you pass as you're walking up towards the castle.
Mm-hmm.
You think that those happen to be newer. It does definitely have windows that you can see with real glass, but they are definitely small, made to be defensible. You think that they were probably... with a 22, you have the idea that they were probably actually just like little cutout weapon slits for a while. You get the sense that the castle is much, much older than the rest of the buildings in the district. There is one central tower that's what you, you know, recognized as, if we're talking about high spots, it's this one central tower. And it is surrounded, of course, by a nice, big, thick, sturdy wall that has a gate and several guards watching it. So it depends on how you want to approach. That's what you know heading up towards it.
Well, I don't know. I feel like I've been taking the lead a lot here. Someone wanna?
Yeah, I got this one. Here, I think I've got an idea. I'm gonna walk up to the guards. Hi there. I'm part of the Jardek family. I'm here to look into some potential economic investments, and I was told that here's where I could meet with some economic advisors. I'm going to be heading in now.
Hang on. I'm sorry. And the guard at the very top of the gate kind of holds up his hand, and he's like, do you have an appointment?
Well, not yet. However, I think you'll find that, you know, when the council finds out just how impressive these economic opportunities are, I don't think you'll want to be responsible for holding me up. We need to get there straight away.
Yeah, Aaron kind of like holds a hand to his heart and he's saying, are you saying that a scion from the House of Jardek needs an appointment, like some kind of common plebeian?
Kenji, roll a deception check for me with advantage.
Okay. The advantage is 15.
One moment. And the guard kind of disappears. I mean, that particular guard, I should say, disappears. And you get the sense that he's running to go talk to someone. And the rest of them kind of like shift a little bit, watching you, like not quite sure what to do. And he comes back eventually.
Hang on, really quickly, Katrin like leans down to Kenji really far because he's also very short and goes, are you really that important?
I don't know, but this seems like a good time to find out.
Sure.
And eventually the guard pops back up. Right, okay. The advisor can meet with you in about a quarter of an hour. But if you'd like, I can escort you to his office.
Very well. Let's go ahead and do that.
Great. Excellent. Open the gates! And that's what exactly happens. The gates, you know, they open with the, you know, all of the pomp and circumstance of a gate opening, and you are escorted inside. And again, you have actually walked this exact path. You are taken from the gate to the small actual gatehouse that is used to house the offices of the advisor. And the guard ushers you inside and kind of stands outside. And looking up from the desk is a halfling woman who kind of furrows her brow. Don't I recognize? You were in here just the other day. What are you here for now? And she looks at Aaron and she kind of like narrows her eyes even further. She's like, you cast a spell on me.
Oh, you cast a spell on me too, honey.
Not that actual magic.
Oh, I mean, you are rather enchanting.
Hang on. I'm getting the advisor.
All right, we gotta go. Let's go.
Yep, time to move.
When did Charity leave the room?
She goes and knocks on the advisor's door and like turns her back to you.
Go.
I'm casting Pass Without a Trace on all of us.
Okay, and so you're just gonna go back out the front door where the other guard is waiting for you?
No, there's gotta be like another door, right? Like
it, like further into the
like
castle.
Like way up, right?
Well, you guys aren't in the castle. You're in the gatehouse where advisor's office is.
So, like, there's a way through the gatehouse, though, to, like, the further into the castle, right?
It is set separately.
That's what a gatehouse is.
No, good. Not necessarily.
Okay.
It is set separately. It's not far from the castle. It's within the walls, right? And there's a path from the gatehouse to the castle. What I assume you guys are going to do is, Katrin, you have been to the restroom.
Right.
I have.
In this particular gatehouse. So
I have.
I assume you guys have cast Pass Without a Trace and you're going to head down the one hallway you know is an actual different place.
Yes. Yes.
Roll stealth checks for me, everybody.
Okay. Everybody gets plus 10 to their stealth checks.
All right, so that is a 10 plus 3 plus 10 is the 23.
17 for me.
I got 18.
Okay, very good. You can kind of hear as you guys rush, like, creep down this hallway, like, as fast as you can creep without being loud about it, the halfling come back into the room and the advisor come into the room and they're just kind of like talking at each other like, where they go, et cetera, et cetera. You get down the hallway and you remember the, and I'm going to get this wrong, so internet, don't yell at me. You remember the restroom was to the right, but you do see two different doors to your left.
Do I remember if the bathroom had a window?
Yes, it does have a window, but it's one of those small ones that I described. Like, it clearly was made more just to, for light than anything else. Wasn't okay, particularly so large.
Kenji and Aaron couldn't fit through it?
Aaron could probably fit through it. He's a very slim, slim boy. Kenji might have a little bit of trouble just because he's got a broader shoulder. Mm-hmm. But he could probably fit through it if he rolled a good enough acrobatics check.
Okay. Because my thoughts are we go into the bathroom and we go out through a window and then bam, we're in like the castle area, right? Would that be where the window would take us?
Mm-hmm. You'd still be inside the castle for sure.
Okay.
Or inside the walls, I should say.
Yeah. I'm going to turn into a spider.
Okay.
Spider, and I'm going to get on Aaron's I'm going to get on Aaron's shoulder.
Okay.
All right.
And because I cast it before I turned into a spider, the Pass Without a Trace should still be active.
Correct. Yeah. Unless for any reason your spider takes damage, and then you'd have to make a concentration check.
Right.
And then you'd probably become a Catrin again, too.
Not a lot of hit points, those tiny spiders.
It could be a rugged spider.
Yeah, roll a constitution check for me to see how rugged your spider is.
Well, I rolled a 14.
Yeah, I mean, he's no brawny man spider, but...
Pretty beefy for a spider, though.
Pretty beefy for a spider. More like a tarantula than just a spider. Okay, so I assume Aaron and Kenji, you guys... go into the bathroom and try to make it out the window.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron and Kenji, then go ahead and roll acrobatics checks for me to see how you shimmy through.
No whammies, no whammies.
That's a 19 plus 4 is 23.
Wow.
Aaron is basically like a greasy little worm at that point.
Hot?
Is it?
That's it. Please imagine like 5 question marks after that.
Natural one.
Oh no!
So see you guys later. I'm hanging in this bathroom, I guess.
Kenji gets stuck, like just straight up stuck in the window, and because he's just trying to do exactly what Aaron did, which is kind of like a little shimmy and then like whoop, and his shoulders, like he goes in straight instead of at the angle, and he just is stuck. Kenji, roll me another stealth check. You still get your plus 10.
18. Thank goodness for the plus 10.
You don't think anyone heard you as you go, but you can't move.
What'll help here, guys?
Fun fact, behind the scenes, the reason these sound so much different than the actual recording of the show is that I'm actually like straight up holding my microphone in front of my mouth, and also it is 6:30 in the morning. I actually didn't think this episode was going to come out on time, so hey, glad to do that for you guys. I personally have a lot of thank yous to help put together these next coming episodes because I know it feels like a lull in the action, and, you know, actually from a storytelling perspective, that's not a bad thing. Give you a little bit of a break emotionally from the high of Battle of the Bards. God, what a fucking fun session. But there's some big stuff coming down the pipe, so I'm very, very excited to share that with you. But anyway, right to it. Lots and lots of thank yous for you today. As always, we need to thank Cage Nana's Cat Ranch, who wrote and performed our theme song, which we adore. I need to thank Mike Fail and Kate Anthony for being my creative sounding boards. Kate was actually pretty instrumental in putting together the character of Sethic. And Mike has also helped me kind of put together some of my plot points for all this whole thing. I also need to thank my friend LJ for providing place references for me. Both the castle and Lord Soros's manor are actually semi-based on real places, and because she loves high-end real estate, I got the PDFs to help me build those. For item inspiration, magic item inspiration, which will really feature here in a few episodes, I need to thank @_R_N_W and @RPGTunes, who have some really cool magic item cards. They're the ones who came up with Kenji's Pickaxe of Shattering, which proved very useful this episode. And I also need to thank the weak magic item generator at lordbing.net, which provides a lot of inspiration. It's very, very cool if you want to check that out. That's lordbyng.net. Of course, I always need to thank my players. So big, big thanks to Marin, who you can find on Twitter @Marinish, Babs, who you can find on Twitter @HockeyBabbler, and Alex, who you can find on Twitter @AlexNovet. You can also follow me if you would like @Classlicity. I do some minor whining about trying to put together this campaign, knowing that these guys are just going to go around and be goofballs everywhere. Not that that's an actual complaint. But you can also follow our official podcast Twitter @MirthMisadvent. And you can talk to other fans of the podcast using the #MirthPod. There's going to be some fun mystery stuff coming up. I know we had a little bit of a break from that. But it's back in full swing after this episode. Please, please spread the word, rate and review. Apple Podcast reviews are so, so helpful in getting other people to listen to the show. We put a lot of love into it, and we love it when you guys love it. So please, reviews and ratings make our week. If you like the sound of my voice, you can listen to some of the other podcasts I do. Marin and I have a hockey podcast called Deep in the Heart of Hockey. It's a podcast about the Dallas Stars, fancy stats, and general shenanigans. And it's on hiatus right now, but I do also have a backlog of my cozy mystery review show I do with my friend Sabrina called Wine and Murder Night that you can find everywhere. Our next episode will be coming out after the holidays, so until next time, may your dice be as kind to you as you are to others.